Pastor Anna is on vacation through Saturday, November 27th. If you have any concerns or in case of an emergency, please call the council president, Lynn Dennis, and his number is listed in the bulletin. If you'll pay attention up here, we've got a beautiful presentation here prior to Thanksgiving that was created here in front of the altar by our fellowship committee. We thank them very much for that, and it is a wonderful representation. Reminder that the treasurers will meet in the fellowship hall for a meeting after service today. Anyone wishing to sponsor a poinsettia for the Christmas Eve service needs to complete an order form, which can be found back in the narthex. Drop them off in the offering plate or mail them back to the church office by today. I was given information right before service that Pastor Talent, our former interim pastor, had a minor heart attack last week, and that on Wednesday he had a stent and a heart cath procedure completed. So we need to keep him in our thoughts and our prayers. We have one prayer shawl today. It is for Trisha Edwards, who is a friend of Amy Kepley, who has been hospitalized for COVID. If you would pray with me. Lord, we thank you for the many gifts that you offer us, especially the gift of comfort and healing. Please watch over Trisha. Grant her courage, grant her strength, and grant her wholeness again. In your heavenly name, amen. Also today, at the after church, we will have the opening of our congregational meeting, and the information on budget, the council nominees, and time and talent sheets are in the back. Please, please fill out those time and talent sheets. You can drop them in the offering plate or you can drop them off by the church office. But in trying to schedule committees and other things that are important for our church to continue to operate fairly efficiently, we need those back. And please do sign up. Stretch yourself. If you haven't been on a committee lately and you think you've got a little bit of time and you would love to participate, we would love to have you joining certain organizations and of your choice within the congregation. One last announcement that I have: our offering envelopes for the coming year, for the coming fiscal year, the calendar year starting in January, are in the narthex as well. Please pick those up. If your neighbor hasn't been able to join us in person, if you want to grab theirs and deliver theirs to them, that would be great as well. Do we have any other announcements? Okay, birthdays and anniversaries. Birthdays this week: Anthony Conrad and Jacob and Wilson Hearn. And there are no anniversaries. Do we have anyone else to add? Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Welcome you to stand if you're able. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And for all God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth.
Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you with increased praise. We praise you for your glory, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the Father. Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer, for you alone are the Holy One.
Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, you anointed your beloved Son to be priest and sovereign forever. Grant that all the people of the earth, now divided by the power of sin, may be united by the glorious and gentle rule of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The first reading is from the book of Daniel. As I watched, thrones were set in place, and an ancient one took his throne. His clothing was white as snow, and the hair on his head was like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames, and wheels were burning fire. A stream of fire issued and flowed out from his presence. 1,000,000 served him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood attending him. The court sat in judgment, and the books were opened. As I watched in the night visions, I saw one like a human being coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient One and was presented before him. To him was given dominion, glory, and kingship, that all the peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that shall not pass away, and his kingship is one that will never be destroyed. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm appointed for this morning is number 93. The Lord is king, robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty and armed with strength.
The Lord has made the world such that it cannot be moved.
Ever since the world began, your throne has been established.
You are from everlasting.
The waters have lifted up, O Lord. The waters have lifted up their voice.
The waters have lifted up their pounding waves.
Mightier than the sound of many waters, mightier than the breaking of the sea.
Mightier is the Lord who dwells on high.
Your testimonies are very sure.
And holiness befits your house, O Lord, forever and forevermore.
The second reading is from the book of Revelations. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and freed us from our sins, by his blood he made us to be a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, he's coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And on his account, all the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord, who is and was and who is to come, the Almighty. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Lord. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace and peace to you from the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. Amen. As a history teacher, I really liked a bunch of the readings that I read this week because this is a political writing. And yes, I am that nerd. So I read quite a bit, including commentaries from the two books that the congregation so willingly gave me a few weeks ago. Thank you for that. But as I prepared, my mind started wandering away from politics. And part of the reason is that politics divides us more than anything in this world right now. This world. So I wanted to focus on something a little bit differently. This is the end of our church year. Year B in the common lectionary, and next week you'll begin the season of Advent, along with all the, millions and millions of people across the world. Today is called Christ the King Sunday. It's been recognized for the church for about 100 years. I will give you a little bit of history of that, though. So when I was going to say in the 20s, and I'm thinking we're in the 20s, just a different 20s. So around 1925, the world was going through a great deal of change. World War I had ended. People were disgusted in some European countries about the outcome of the war, including Germany. What was formerly known as Russia had a revolution in the middle of the war and backed out from the Allies and became the Union of the Soviet Socialist Republic, the communist. So the church, losing members and having doctrines, political doctrines, that lessen the importance of religion, decided to not necessarily create, but to put this feast into the church year. And it has traditionally been, since the late 60s, for the Lutheran Church and those that use the Revised Common Lectionary, the last Sunday of the church year, with Advent beginning next week. So there's part of a history lesson, so I couldn't get rid of all of it. So in our gospel text for the Christ the King Sunday, Pilate asked questions. The first question: are you the King of the Jews? John's gospel is the only one that repeatedly uses the word king to describe Jesus. In fact, in John's gospel, when Jesus called his first disciples, Nathanael makes the initial declaration that Jesus is not only the Son of God, but the King of Israel. In the first chapter, verse 49. When Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." In the sixth chapter of John, when Jesus sees that the people are going to come and take him by force to try and instate him as a king, he retreats to a quiet mountainside. When Jesus enters Jerusalem on a donkey, he's greeted with the title King of Israel. "Are you the King of the Jews?" Pilate asked Jesus. Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I?" Now, in the sense of the word Jew being used in our gospel, it's about the Judean people. Jesus was, for all intents and purposes, a Galilean hillbilly, because the Galileans were seen as second class. So it's really a focus of Jesus that he comes from a low birth, low status, works with people of lowly professions, nothing that would endear him as being a powerful ruler or a king on earth. So Pilate asking this question, saying, "I am not a Jew," he's telling them, "Hey, I'm from Rome. I'm not Judean." And the Romans, actually, they didn't make any delineation between the Galileans and the Judeans. To them, everybody in the area was Judean. But Pilate says to Jesus, when Jesus gave him not what he wanted in his question, because Pilate wanted to hear, "I am." That way he could have some footing. And then he would say, "Well, you're a threat to the Roman Empire. Off to the cross you go." But that didn't happen. Jesus didn't give him the answer he wanted. But Pilate says, "Your own nation and chief priests have handed you over to me." So then his question, the next question, "What have you done?" So moms, dads, let's see a show of hands. Has that question ever come out of your mouth when your child or one of your children has come around the corner after a loud crash or a bang? Nothing. I've given that answer quite a few times myself, I'm pretty sure. And my backside would attest to it some. So what have you done? There once was a member of a congregation who tried to guilt the pastor for not recognizing everything that he had done in the church. He sent him a text message that had a list of his accomplishments after he hadn't been recognized for donating a rather large sum of money for a building project. At the end of the long list, being a Lutheran, the man confessed that none of these accomplishments would earn him salvation, but some recognition surely would be nice. What have you done? Well, in that vein, if we're in that vein of that parishioner, Jesus could have described a long, 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 long list of accomplishments in his short time on earth. Feeding of the 5,000 with a few fish and a few loaves. Healing the blind man. Healing the deaf man. Healing with the woman with the flow of blood. Healing the lepers. The list goes on and on, including raising this guy named Lazarus from the grave. Teaching thousands in the fields and in the synagogues. Turning water into wine. Walking on water. And using two pretty common elements to heal a blind man: dirt and spit. Jesus could have gone on and on answering that question. What have you done? If you were asked that question, how would you reply? When visiting with a person that may not have much time left in this life, pastors ask questions, encouraging the person to share their story. Or when visiting with a family preparing for a loved one's funeral, pastors encourage them to reminisce, to share stories as they give thanks for good memories that often will be part of the pastor's funeral sermon. What have you done? For me, I like to remember the wonderful folks in this congregation. There are many of you out here and many that have gone on before us that helped build my life of faith. Sunday school teachers, confirmation teachers, pastors, probably a few youth advisors as well, because that was the formative time and some of the most fun that I've ever had. But being in this church, being in Sunday school, being in junior choir, sitting up here, passing out one Sunday and Barbara catching me, quite a few memories in this church. Ike and Peggy Kearney, Dottie Curry, special people that taught Sunday school as I was growing up, that made me want to be here every Sunday and early, if at all possible. Church council, pastors, all of these groups continue to serve and continue to share the good news in this small church, in this small community. Those are things that I like to tell people about. Most of us love to tell stories about how we met our spouse or about our children. And the most meaningful stories we tell are about our relationships. Relationships with one another. Past relationships. Not about how much money we made. Not about how big our house is. Or what kind of car we drive. Or how much we've accomplished. In the end, we remember and give thanks for those that we've loved and those who have loved us. What have you done? In verse 36 of John 18, Jesus answers, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." In our world today, people fight to keep their leaders in power. Not necessarily just kings, but presidents, prime ministers, leaders in parliament. And Jesus' followers would have fought to keep him from being arrested. But Jesus would not allow them to fight because, as Jesus says three times in this verse, his kingdom is not from this world. So what is Jesus' kingdom? Jesus' kingdom is the fulfillment of this world. Jesus' kingdom is this world recreated, sinless, perfect, and eternal. Jesus' kingdom is loving one another perfectly and forever. Jesus' kingdom is the wedding feast without end. Jesus' kingdom is the eternal feeling of giving a hug and a kiss to your children or grandchildren when you haven't seen them for a while. Jesus' kingdom is worship and singing with Jesus in the pews, smiling and welcoming every person of faith, like during last week's baptism. Jesus' kingdom is definitely not from this world. If Jesus chooses not to go to the cross, there would be no forgiveness and no resurrection. If we choose not to follow Jesus to the cross and not live lives of self-sacrifice for the needs of our loved ones, then there is no forgiveness and no resurrection. We're only and always saved by God's grace through our faith in Jesus Christ. A baptism, a confirmation, or a wedding celebration is a foretaste of the feast to come. They're parts of our faith relationship that teaches us about the self-sacrificial love and forgiveness that Jesus Christ freely extends to us. As followers of Christ, as forgiven sinners, As lovers of one another, we followed Jesus to the cross and eventually to Easter morning, knowing as he knew that his kingdom was not of this world. But in the meantime, we serve. We forgive. We love. We hope. We screw up. And we live together. We live knowing the truth. In verse 37, Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." May the truth of God through Christ Jesus and the promise of his kingdom move us forward in helping bring others into his kingdom through serving, sharing, giving, and freely loving as Jesus loves us. Amen.
Reaffirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. Living together in hope and trust, let us confess our faith with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Eternal God, you hold firm amongst the changes of the world. Hear us now as we pray for the church, the world, and everyone in need. God, you sent your Son Jesus to testify to the truth. We pray for preachers, missionaries, evangelists, and teachers who carry your forgiveness and love to the world. Fill their words and actions with compassion and kindness so that your truth will shine. God, on your mercy. pray. God, you sent your Son Jesus to redeem all of creation. We pray for all living things, longing for the freedom to flourish, from ancient trees and wild grasses to endangered animals and rare insects. Give human beings compassionate hearts to care for them. God, in your mercy. God, you sent your Son Jesus to lead us into the way of peace. Direct the members of international alliances in choosing a nonviolent path towards the future. Give them humility and the wisdom to make your decisions to benefit all. God, in your mercy. God, you sent your Son Jesus to make us into your own people, set free to serve you. We pray for people who serve the well-being of others, especially ministers in our community. Renew them in their work. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God, you sent your Son Jesus to rule in all times and places. We pray for the friends of our congregation who are unable to join our worship in person, and for all who are sick and suffering, especially Gary, Dean, Teresa, Jean, Gary, and Judy, Bill, Raven, Tim, Dooley, John, Wilson, Bobby, our friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those that we name aloud or on our lips or silently. Join their prayers with us and unite us with them in the body of Jesus. God, in your mercy. God, you sent your Son Jesus to be our beginning and our ending. We give thanks for those whose lives have given us a glimpse of Jesus' reign of peace and justice. Empower us to join their witness. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
God, our hope and strength, we entrust to you all for whom we pray. Remain with us always, through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. May the peace of Christ be with you always. Let's share that sign of peace with each other. With you.
Let us pray. Holy God, the earth is yours and everything in it, yet you have chosen to dwell among your creatures. Come among us now in these gifts of bread and wine, and strengthen us to be in your body for the world, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth, and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Earlier this week, Pastor Anna consecrated our elements, saying, Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you have sent us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. Last week when we gathered for communion, Pastor Anna said these words as well. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me. Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me. Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Come to the banquet. Please stand.
At this table, you have been forth host and meal. Now send us forth to extend our tables and to share your gifts until the day when all feast together at your heavenly banquet. Amen.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
The
Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you peace. Amen.
Let's recite our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of led on by the saints before us, let us go to the world in peace.
Thanks be to God.